Welcome to the Kerwin Baptist Church broadcast today. Our desire is for the Word of God to be spread throughout the world so that all may know Christ. Join us now for a portion of one of our services here at Kerwin Baptist Church, located in Kernersville, North Carolina.
Matthew chapter 17. And while they abode in Galilee, Jesus said unto them, "The Son of Man shall be betrayed into the hands of men." It would be one thing if the Son of Man, Jesus, would be delivered into the hands of men. It would be something if maybe Jesus was taken by the hands of men, but may we not be reminded that what happened with Jesus, he was betrayed into the hands of men. He literally ended up there, and we knew it was going to happen. God prophesied that, but it was because one of his own, one of his inner circle, you would call it, loved money more than he loved Jesus. And he betrayed him. It's amazing that Jesus talks about being betrayed. He was betrayed over 30 pieces of silver. Which leads right to this miracle. Don't miss this as he talks about that the Son of Man will be betrayed. And he knew that it was going to be betrayed over something insignificant like money. And then he brings this miracle, verse 23. "And they shall kill him, and the third day he shall be raised again." And they were exceeding sorry. When they were come to Capernaum, they that received tribute money came to Peter and said, "Doth not your master pay tribute?" He saith, "Yes." And when he was come into the house, Jesus prevented him. It means this: Jesus was ahead of them. He knew what was coming. Jesus prevented. It doesn't mean that he stopped him from coming in, but he was way ahead of the process here, saying, "What thinkest thou, Simon? Of whom do the kings of the earth take custom or tribute?" In other words, who is it that kings charge tribute to? And then Jesus asked him his question: of their own children or of strangers? Now, last time I checked, a king doesn't charge tribute money to his son or the prince that lives in the castle. The tribute money is charged of strangers. Everybody understand that? Look at verse 26. "Peter saith unto him, of strangers." Jesus saith unto him, "Then are the children free?" If a king charges the strangers, then that means that the king's children should be free, correct? Verse 27, "notwithstanding." In other words, even though that's the truth and even though that is logical, "notwithstanding, lest we should offend them, go thou to the sea and cast an hook and take up the fish that first cometh up. And when thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money. That take and give unto them for me and thee." Fishing for a miracle. Let's learn today if we can. Lord, I love you. I pray that you'd bless your word as you always do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Remember who's sharing this: the tax collector, the numbers guy, the man who understood money. Remember the setting: Jesus just prophesied that he was going to be betrayed over money. Notice number one, as we look at this verse, the tribute to be paid. What was this tribute? And the Bible says that these men that collected the tribute showed up. Well, what are we talking about here? Christ was now at Capernaum. This was kind of his headquarters. This is where Christ resided most of the time, was in Capernaum. This tribute was not like a civil payment for taxes. This tribute money was religious. It was for church duties. It was what we call a half shekel, or 15 pence. And it was required from every person so that church duties, public worship, could continue. The cost of maintaining the temple and all these different things. And that's what this tribute money was for. Now, you say, well, why did they do that? This was just something that everybody was asked to pay so that it would help contribute to the worship of public, or public worship, or obviously group worship as what we call it. You say, where did this start? Well, it started in Exodus chapter 30, verse 11. Now remember, I told you, I got to teach you some of these things for us to understand this miracle. Now, verse 11, this verse is on the screen for you. I want you to see what this tribute money was. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, when thou takest the sum of the children of Israel after their number, then shall they give every man. In other words, remember, the children of Israel got out of Egypt, and obviously they left Pharaoh. We know the whole thing about the Red Sea and all that stuff. So now that they're establishing a new system, God says this, that they shall give every man, and this is what it's called, a ransom for his soul. You see, taxes or civil taxes are basically for the body, property taxes. It's the physical world, but God said every man should pay a ransom for his soul, the spiritual world, and everybody should make a donation to that. In other words, even the principle of giving to the Lord started here. This is what he said, when thou numberest them, that there be no plague among them when thou numberest them. In other words, we don't want to do anything to rob from God, so every person should give a ransom for the soul. That's what this tribute money was. And here in Matthew, we find that these men show up and they're collecting tribute money from people, and they show up at Peter's house where Jesus resided a lot of the time, much of the time. Jesus didn't own a house. He didn't own anything, by the way. And they come and they ask Peter, does your master pay tribute? Now, we don't know if they asked this sarcastically. We don't know if they asked this respectfully. And there's debate on the subject, and it's debate that really doesn't matter. We don't know if they were just trying to snag him, and a lot of them were like, oh, so here he is, says all these wonderful things, but he's not even willing to pay tribute. Or we don't know if these men, after seeing the miracle that Jesus did, came to Peter and says, hey, does he pay tribute or not? And the fact that they went to Peter about it instead of Jesus might lean to the fact that they respected him so much that they asked Peter, hey, does he pay tribute or not? We don't want to go bother him and ask for it if he doesn't pay tribute. Maybe they felt he might not have to. I don't know. But we do know that this is the tribute that he's talking about. Now, listen to me this morning. You say, well, why is all this important? Everything in God's word is important. And I'm going to show you this in a second. Peter said, yes. He just assumed, yeah, he pays tribute. And so, obviously, they continue from there. Number two. The tribute that was paid, number two, I want you to see the rights that Jesus waived. The rights that Jesus waived. Verse 25, look at this passage. Peter says, yes, and when he was coming to the house, Jesus prevented them. Peter brought these collectors into the house, but Christ had anticipated him. And this was literally to give proof, to let Peter know, I know all things. I even know the thoughts of men. And dear friend, may I remind you today that before these men even ever walked in the house, Jesus knew exactly why they were coming. He already knew what was going on. And dear friend, he knows your heart and your mind too this morning. He knew what you thought when you got here. He knows what you're thinking now. So be nice to me. Because he knows what you're thinking right now. I love this. Jesus then brings up this whole system of earthly kings. Now, why would Jesus do that? Well, dear friend, may I remind you who Jesus is? Yeah. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So if there's a system of earthly kings, Jesus is above that. You agree with that? So this is what he asked. He said, Peter, let me ask you this. Do the kings make their own family pay tribute? Or do they make strangers pay tribute? And Peter obviously answered in verse 26. He said of strangers. It would be absurd for a parent to charge their own child taxes. Although I'm open to the idea. Talk about a ransom for the soul. A ransom for the food. Peter says, well, if strangers. Notice this question that Jesus asked at the end of verse 26. Then are the children free? Did you get that? Jesus was saying this. Well, wait a minute. If a king doesn't charge his own children, The temple was there to worship who? God. Who was God? God the Father. Who was Jesus? God the So Jesus is saying, am I supposed to pay tribute? I mean, doesn't a father not charge their children? I mean, here's a guy collecting for the temple and say, hey, is your master pay tribute? Why should Jesus have to pay tribute? I mean, fathers don't charge their children to be in their own house. Do you get it? Now I'm going to prove my point because I don't know if some of you do. Number one, I want you to see this, that it was his temple. Look at Malachi chapter 3. Verses are on the screen. I want you to see this. Verse 1. Behold, I will send my messenger, speaking of Jesus, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple. It was his temple. Why should Jesus have to pay tribute when it was his house? Amen. Number 2, it was his Father's house. It wasn't just his temple, but it also was his Father's house. Look at John chapter 2, verse 16. And he said unto them that sold doves, this is where Jesus comes in and sees what they were doing to the temple. And he says, take these things hence. Make not my Father's house a house of merchandise. Yeah. So why should Jesus have to pay tribute? It was his own temple, and it was his Father's house. And fathers don't charge children tax to be at home. Number 3, it was not just his temple, it wasn't just his Father's house, but it was his house too. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 6, but Christ as a son over his own house. Listen to this. Whose house are we if we hold fast the confession? Did you get that? Look at me. That means in the New Testament, here was the temple. The house of God, they called it. Here they're charging tribute money. And Jesus says, well, does the Father charge his children or does he charge strangers? And they said, well, he charges strangers. And Jesus said, well, then are the children free? Shouldn't I be free? Because it literally, that house belongs to my Father. The temple is my Father's house. Not just that, but it's my temple. But we find thirdly that it is my house. And by the way, dear friend, when you and I get saved, that's what this verse in Hebrews says. Now you and I become the temple of God. Now we are the temple, and you and I are to pay tribute to the Savior. Any light bulbs going off yet? Maybe not. It's hunger pains, preacher. Okay. Children are freed by grace and adoption from the slavery of sin and Satan. Look at me. You and I are the temple. When you and I got saved, the Holy Spirit came to live. We are now the temple. Salvation was a blank gift. So now we are not strangers anymore. We're children. We're heirs to the throne. Salvation was free. We didn't have to pay tribute for it because we're now children. I guess I'm the only one excited about this. Number 3, and we're not even to the meat of the message yet. You're like, we only got 20 minutes. Okay, I'm hurrying. The example that Jesus displayed. The tribute he paid, the rights that he waived. And third, the example that Jesus displayed. Notice, if you will, a couple of things here. And look at this passage, if you don't mind. Bible says that 26, Peter saith unto him, of strangers, Jesus saith unto him, then are the children free? And he says this, notwithstanding. What does Jesus do? He pays the tribute. Even though he wouldn't require to, even though he shouldn't have to, even though that he's paying for something that he shouldn't have to pay for, it was his own house, he was the Son of God, all those things, he pays tribute anyway. Why? Notice number 1, and this is the example that he displayed. This is now we're starting to get into the application in our life. Number 1, he made himself under the law. Galatians chapter 4, verse 4, look at the verse. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. He didn't have to pay a tribute. But he did. Why? So that he could redeem you and me. He humbled himself so he could be under the law that he didn't have to be under. So that he could save a bunch of people that didn't want him anyway. What a Savior. Luke chapter 2 verse 22 tells us that Jesus was paid for at 40 days old. That's why Joseph and Mary had taken the journey. They were paying taxes. They were being taxed. And in Luke chapter 2 verse 22, obviously, when 40 days old, Jesus was literally taxed under the law. He was made under the law. And now all these years later, Jesus is still making a payment on something that he shouldn't have had to pay for, but he did it so that he could humble himself and be under the law. Dear friend, he became under the law so that you and I would not have to be under the law. We're under grace. Second, he made himself of no reputation. The example he displayed, he made himself under the law. And second, he made himself of no reputation. Philippians 2:7, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant. Yes, he had the right to say that temple is my house. That's my Father's house. It's mine. But Jesus wasn't about getting what he thought was his. Jesus was there to redeem and save you and me. He got rid of his reputation. He didn't care about the clout, and he didn't care about what position they gave him on earth. He was already King of Kings. But he humbled himself. Can you imagine the Creator, the King of Kings, being told you need to pay half a shekel? It's like a slap in the face. But he paid it. Third, he made himself submit. Isn't this something? Jesus made himself submit to people that were literally contaminating the temple. But he submitted himself under their authority. And you and I now find it hard to even submit ourselves to Jesus. Notice this verse, Romans 13:5. Wherefore ye must needs be subject not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. For this cause, notice this verse. Please notice it, look at it. Wake up if you have to just to see this. For this cause, pay ye tribute also. Do you get the verses? That's what he's alluding to in Matthew. Listen to this. For they are God's ministers attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. What was this tribute called? It was called an atonement for the soul. This is under law. This is a payment for sin. Look at me. Jesus didn't have any sin to pay for. Why should he have to pay tribute? There wasn't any sin for him to pay for. But he paid it. Why? Because you and I had sin to pay for. I think I'm just going to go preach it outside. Let me enjoy myself. Dear friend, not only on the cross, but even a measly 15 pence, half shekel, he paid, not because he owed something, but because we did. Look at me, the temple was a den of thieves, and Christ still felt that public worship and God's house was important enough to pay tribute to. Everybody says, well, bless God, I'm not giving to the church. I don't know half of what's going on. Let me tell you something, dear friend. Even Jesus submitted himself to the house of God. Will a man rob God? Yea, verily. In tithes and offerings. Whew, anybody else getting excited? Nope. All right. Number four, we're almost done. Now you're excited. I want you to see the point Jesus made. The example he displayed. He made himself of no reputation. He put himself under the law. He submitted to the authority of man. Didn't have to do any of that. But notice the point that Jesus made. Look at verse 27. Notwithstanding, lest we should what? Offend them. The whole point that Jesus was making to Peter and he's making to us is, yes, he had his rights, and yes, he shouldn't have had to do it, but he knew if he didn't, he would have offended them. And he put down his pride and he brought up his humility and he put himself under because they didn't understand who Jesus was. And he said, I would rather do this even though I don't have to than to offend them unnecessarily. You and I are big on our rights. Bless God, a preacher better not say nothing about whatever. I got my rights. Oh, we're big on that, aren't we? And there's nothing more anti-Bible than that. Biblical is submission. It's obedience to God. It's humility. Whew. The reason, listen, look at me. We're almost there. The reason Christ paid that tribute is so that he wouldn't offend some unsaved individuals. He wanted to make sure that there was nothing in his life that they could point to that would offend them, that would be a stumbling block to them. Dear friend, it means this, that you and I need to do everything in our life to humble ourselves and submit to the Lord so that we don't bring offense to his name. We got to quit walking around thinking, well, bless God, I'm allowed. I should be able to. I. Listen to me, dear friend. Even Jesus didn't do that, and he had the right to. But he was making a point. Romans chapter 14, verse 13. I want you to look at this verse. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. You and I now, we make everything about, well, I bless God, I think I have the right. I don't think this is wrong. I don't think this is whatever. And that shouldn't even be the whole point. We're not under the law anymore. What should be the point is, if I do this, would this be a stumbling block to someone else? Look at this verse, 1 Corinthians 8, verse 9. But take heed, lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. I've got liberty. I got Christian liberty. Oh, I've heard that, so I'm about to have a headache from that. What's interesting, they don't ever bring up the last part of that phrase. Lest that become a stumbling block to them that are weak. But when ye sin so against the brethren and wound their weak conscience, ye sin against Christ. That means even though I have liberty, when I use my liberty and it becomes a stumbling block, that's a sin. Oh. All right, let me answer the other side of that. So you're saying, preacher, that everything in my life should be guided by what people think? Absolutely not. Look at this verse, Matthew 15, 12. Then came his disciples and said unto him, Jesus, knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended? After they heard this saying, Jesus went and spoke the truth, and the Pharisees were offended. God bless their hearts. It hurt their widow feelings. Look at verse 13. But he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. In other words, Jesus says, I'm not changing the truth because it bothers people. There's a big difference in staying with what's truthful, even if it offends, to using my Christian liberty to hurt others. It's night and day different. Dear friend, the truth's still the truth, even if the whole world gets mad at it, even if every news outlet gets mad at it, even if mainstream Christianity now doesn't teach it or preach it, it's still the truth. Christ is the only way to salvation. All right, I got 8 minutes. Number five, the miracle that paid. We're not even to the miracle yet. This is all examples that Jesus was displaying. This is all points that he was making. He was teaching Peter that before I even do a miracle, you've got to make sure that God, that Satan doesn't use you to hurt people, offend people, confuse people. You leave your pride at the door. You check your ego over there. This isn't about us. It's about the Father. By the way, church isn't about us, folks. It's about the Father. All right, the miracle that paid. We're here. Are you excited?
Yes.
All right, all five of us, let's go. Let's go in another room. Let everybody else go home because they're ready to leave. Look at verse 27. Notwithstanding, lest we should offend them, go thou to the sea. Cast an hook. Take up the fish that first cometh up. Now, I don't know if he had bait on it or not. Jesus never said to use bait. Now, Peter was a... If he took Jesus literally, he just threw out the hook. I personally think that he just threw out the hook. Because Jesus didn't need bait for a miracle. He just said, hey, I want you to go out to the sea. I want you to cast out a hook. Notice, if you would, take up the fish that first cometh up. When thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money. First thing I want you to notice about this as we close today is this. Number one, I want you to see the poverty of Christ. Jesus did not even have 15 pence on him. Jesus did not even possess a half shekel of money. To pay this tax would take a miracle. I mean, I don't know about you, but I go through all the New Testament and I find countless people that he healed, countless miracles that he wrought on behalf of others. And yet, from what I can tell, it was all pro bono. Yet what I can tell, everything that he did for everybody else, they never gave him a dime for it. He did everything free. Does that sound familiar? I mean, if he was going to charge for miracles, I guess maybe you would have the right to charge for salvation. But he didn't even have enough money to pay that tiny little tax. The poverty of Christ. Listen to this. Get this. In his ordinary expenses, Luke chapter 8, verse 3 says that Jesus lived upon alms. That's people giving food, taking care, giving him a place to stay for the night. In his ordinary expenses, Jesus lived upon alms, but for extraordinary expenses, he lived upon miracles. And that's exactly where you and I should be. We say we have faith, but let's be honest, dear friend, we don't need a miracle to make it to lunch. Most of us got enough money to get to a restaurant or Arby's or Taco Bell or something, or we got something in the cupboards. Jesus had nothing. The poverty of Christ. Look at this verse, 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Second, I want you to see the power of Christ. Fetching money out of a fish's mouth. Now, you always have your haters and you always have your critics about miracles, don't you? You remember the Red Sea? It's like, well, you know, it wasn't that a miracle they parted the water because it was only a foot deep. And then we say, well, if that was not a miracle, then it was a miracle that he drowned a whole army in a foot of water. So however you look at it, and when it comes to the fact that Jesus says, go out, I want you to throw this hook in, the first fish that comes up, open his mouth, and there's going to be enough money for tax.
Thank you for listening today. We hope you received a blessing from our broadcast. The Kirtland Baptist Church is located at 4520 Old Hollow Road in Kernersville, North Carolina. You may also contact us by phone at 336-993-5192 or via the web at kirwinbaptistchurch.com. Enjoy our services live and all our media on our website and church app. Thank you for listening to the Kerwin broadcast today. God bless you.